Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Great to see everyone. All out there. You're all out there. It's all right. It's a beautiful day to gather around our outdoor service here. I hope you have had a safe 4th of July with all the fireworks. Would you stand this morning as we worship, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth.
You do not fade, you upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
And lift
just the faces.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, is our God.
How great are you, Lord, as we gather here this morning, Lord. We worship you. Under the sun, under the clouds, this beautiful morning, and we can't help but say, how great are you, Lord. We worship you this morning. How great. You give love. You are love.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
You give life.
You give life. You are love. You know.
Amen. You may be seated. Great are you, Lord. What a wonderful thing to just be reminded of here as we gather together for worship. Our Lord truly is great, and it doesn't matter what's going on in the world, and it doesn't matter how divided things seem. We have a God who is in control. Father, I pray as we gather here today, as we celebrate our independence, not just politically, but eternally and spiritually and personally, as we come together to remember that, Lord, you have set us free, and there is no power on earth that could have done what you did through the cross, through the sacrifice of Jesus. So, Lord, as we say the words, "Great are you, Lord," it comes from our heart with that in our mind. Father, I pray that you would bless the service here this morning, that you would bless us as we gather together, bless the fellowship, bless the food that we will have later as we break bread together. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and minds to understand your word as we study it together, as we gather in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to have everybody here with us at our outdoor service. I know it's July 7th and 4th of July was a few days ago, but that's what we're here to celebrate, is our independence, our freedom together. And not just freedom politically, as I mentioned just a minute ago, but freedom spiritually. Every person here, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you are free, and that's what we're here to celebrate together. So we want to welcome everybody who's here with us. Everybody who might be watching live at home, we want to welcome you too. If you're going to watch this later, welcome to you also. Just a couple of quick announcements as we continue in our service. First of all, I'd like to say that the bathrooms to the building are open through these doors. If you go through these doors, there's a lot of wires and stuff, and so it's really going to help us out if we can use the bathrooms on this side. But those are there if you need them. Also, we're going to be having food later afterward. That's going to be set up in the fellowship hall. You can go through either this door or you can go through the red doors, but the food will be in there. That way we don't have to stand on the blacktop in line for everything, and then you're free to sit wherever you would like. If you want to get out chairs and sit inside, that's fine. If you want to come back out here and eat under the tree, that's fine. If you want to eat in your car, that's fine. If you want to eat walking laps around the building, that's also fine. It's entirely up to you. But that's going to be what we're doing for the food. Our agape boxes are around the loop here. If there's anything the Lord has put on your heart to give as far as tithe and offering, that's certainly something that we will very thankfully receive here this morning. Also, this coming Wednesday, our verse-by-verse service will continue. We took a pause for a couple of weeks, one because of VBS and then the other because of the holiday. It's just how the schedule went. But we're in a series right now on Wednesday night looking at the minor prophets, and we're looking at the life of a man named Hosea. Hosea's life was very difficult. God said that through Hosea's life and his marriage and his family, that God would basically reenact the infidelity that Israel had shown him. And so Hosea is a prophet of the Lord. He has a great ministry. It spans almost 50 years, but it's a very painful one. And we've been looking at that along with other minor prophets in the Old Testament. So if you're interested in coming out to that, we certainly would want to encourage you to do that as well. This month is now, well, I guess it's the month of July, and so for July, we're having a fundraiser for the Genesis Pregnancy Center down in Pottstown, and we have supported them here as a church for many years. They have a ministry reaching out to moms who are in pregnancy crisis mode. You know, maybe it's an unexpected pregnancy, maybe they were considering an abortion, maybe they're coming out of a life circumstance where they don't have all the things that they need for their new child. So Genesis just has a very godly, very mom-centered ministry that we've supported. And so this month we have the Baby Bottle Blast that the Friends for Life have done just about every year. Baby bottles are available in the foyer. The idea is you take one of those home, fill it up with the change, bring it back, And then what's going to happen is Friends for Life takes that and they're going to get all that counted and then bring that back to the church so that we can deposit that and then give a check to Genesis in the amount that was given. So that's kind of how it works logistically. But understand, anything we receive through those bottles will go to that ministry. That is on top of our other missions commitments that we also have. Please pray about those things. There's a lot that happens here in the church, and the summer is no exception to that. So please do check the bulletin, check online, check flyers throughout the building. If there's any questions about anything, let us know. We certainly want to help you with that. But just to get the announcements out of the way before we get into our message, and it's not a very long one, but it is in the book of Galatians. And it's in Galatians chapter 5. If you brought your Bible, terrific. If not, it's just one verse, and I'll read it for us here in just a little bit. But it's in Galatians 5. And it's a message that I have called the responsibility of liberty. The responsibility of liberty. Just about everybody can remember when they started driving. It's one of the first major acts of freedom we get as we're growing up. And there's nothing quite like being behind the wheel of your very own car. You can go where you want. You can do what you want. When you're in that left seat, you're in charge. I have shared before about my first car. It was a 1990 Mercury Tracer, and the neatest thing about my car was it was pink. And so I looked just so cool pulling up to all the high school events in my pink four-door family sedan. But that's how my dad wanted it. I guess he figured I wouldn't get in as much trouble in a pink car as I would maybe a red sports car. And so he brought me home this pink car. But it was my car, and it was the first one. And I remember my parents telling me things like, be careful and watch what you're doing. And driving is a big responsibility. And I remember hearing all the statistics from driver's ed and from other people about things like accidents and drunk driving and wearing seat belts and being alert and oriented when you're in the car. And just like every 16-year-old since cars have been around, I said, yeah, I know. I know, I'm going to be fine. I'm a great driver. I know all about it. You don't need to worry about me. Well, about 4 weeks later, I was in my first accident, and it wasn't bad. It was my fault, even though I was rear-ended, pulling out of a parking lot, not giving the driver enough clearance, and he went right into the back end of my pink car. It was a wake-up call to me, because although I was technically responsible for it, legally, it was his fault because he rear-ended me and everybody agreed to just walk away from the whole thing. There wasn't a lot of damage. There was no injury to report. And so when the police showed up, they basically said, we can just leave. But that was 4 weeks after I started driving. A few weeks after that was my first traffic ticket. And I wasn't going too fast, only about 70 in a 35. And so the police pulled me over and they said, do we even need to ask if you know why we've stopped you? And I said, well, I think I might have been going a little fast. And I knew I was going fast because in my really cool pink car, when the speedometer got over 60 miles an hour, it would do like this. And the whole time I was driving, it was just going nuts. Well, then I spent the next month working my McDonald's job to pay off the ticket because my parents said, no, you got the ticket, you're going to pay for it. Through all of that, I learned a very important lesson. There is responsibility anytime there is liberty. 248 years ago, our nation fought a bloody war of independence where we wanted to prove to the world that we were ready. We were ready to govern ourselves and police ourselves and defend ourselves. But the truth is, at the time, a lot of people thought we would fail. We were kind of like a young teenager that already knew everything. People were standing there going, there's no way it's going to work. There's no way a bunch of average, ordinary, uneducated people are going to be able to pull this off. They're going to fail. They're going to end up fighting themselves. There's going to be political division. And in a lot of ways, they were right. It did fail at first. The first constitution of our nation was called the Articles of Confederation, and it didn't work. It was simply done too quickly. There were too many holes in it, And so the Congress had to go back and create what we now know to be our United States Constitution. But at first it did fail. And we did end up fighting one another. We fought a 4-year-long civil war where more than 600,000 Americans died. And we are divided. In fact, I would say in my lifetime, I have never seen our nation more divided than we are right now on politics. I heard somebody comment one time that said, politically speaking and culturally and relationally speaking, our nation is more divided now in 2024 than it was in 1864 when the Civil War was coming to a close. But 248 years later, we are still here. And we didn't fail. We have been forged. And in that time, those ordinary people, those uneducated farmers, have developed the strongest economy the world has ever known, the strongest military the world has ever known, remain to be the only people to have ever set foot on another planetary body when we sent Neil Armstrong to the moon in 1969. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect, and we are not perfect as a people. And the founders knew that we would not be perfect. That's why they say that we, the people of the United States of America, in order to form a more perfect union, it doesn't say a perfect union, it says a more perfect, a better union. And so they knew that we would have to grow as a nation. And mature and learn. And we continue to learn and we continue to grow. That is the responsibility that we have politically in our liberty. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. And just like there is a responsibility to personal liberty and political liberty, there is a responsibility to spiritual liberty. And that's a responsibility that is described to us in the book of Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 13, where it says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." 248 years ago, 60 miles away, 56 men signed a document that said, we didn't want to live under the power of a foreign king anymore. We wanted to set our own laws. We wanted to chart our own course. We wanted to elect our own leaders. We wanted to drive on the right side of the road. We wanted a different kind of football. And so they declared that to the world. And in that declaration, it says, these United Colonies are of a right and ought to be free. And with that, they declared the nation's independence. Galatians chapter 5 is often referred to as the Magna Carta of the Bible, because in it is your declaration of independence as a believer. It even begins at the very beginning of the chapter to say, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And here in our verse this morning, in verse 13, it says, you were called to freedom. And so it starts with a declaration of our spiritual freedom. Make no mistake about it. If you have a relationship with Jesus this morning, you are free. But what does that mean, to be free? Well, as a nation, it means that we have to do for ourselves what a king used to do. We have to develop our own legal system and our own civic system, our own military, our own money. We have to deal with taxes and law enforcement. We have to provide for the public welfare. We've got to figure it out. And that's not an easy thing to do. And it was very frightening for the people at the time. But it is no different on a spiritual level. Freedom can be a frightening thing. I remember as a kid, there was nothing I wanted more than to be out on my own. I couldn't wait to the day that I had my own apartment, that I made my own rules, that I made my own bedtime, that there was no curfew, that I didn't have to answer to anybody. But then I got out on my own and I got that apartment. And you know what I realized? All of that stuff is the lure, that the hook, it comes later. the part where you have to also pay your bills on your own and get a job on your own and make your doctor's appointments on your own and do your laundry on your own and go grocery shopping on your own. I like to say that before college, I had an advanced degree in the School of Hard Knocks, and I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. Spiritual freedom is the same way. It can be a frightening transition for some people. Because when you're in religion, when you're under a system of religious authority, all you have to do is what they tell you to do. Just check the box and you'll be fine. The only problem is you're not fine. You are in bondage to the rules, and you are in bondage to the system, and you're in bondage to the priests, and you're in bondage to the religious leaders. And so the Bible encourages us to declare our independence. It says you were called to be free. The only thing is when you do, it becomes up to you. It is now up to you to grow in your relationship with God. It's up to you to pray and to worship and to fellowship with one another. In 2 Peter, it says to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that means it's up to you to keep going in the Lord. There are no boxes to check. There is no system to fall back on. It's just a person and their faith and the Lord Himself. And so it starts with a declaration. It says, you were called to freedom. Then we have a limitation. There is no freedom without responsibility. And so here it comes. It goes on to say, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. There's no doubt about it that with freedom comes great temptation. I remember turning 18. And finally, I started getting all these credit card offers in the mail. And they all wanted to say, well, we'll set you up with 0% interest and this much of a limit and this one versus that one. And they all just started piling in. And finally, I signed up for a credit card. I barely had a job, but I had a credit card. I did not manage it well. I maxed it out within 12 hours. I didn't pay the bill. I just threw it away. It went to collections, and then they came after me, and they wanted their money and fees and interest. In the end, it cost me 10 times more than it was when I originally spent the money. But I had the freedom to do what I wanted, only I didn't realize and I didn't think about the responsibility that comes with it. The idea of freedom is enshrined in our nation's highest laws. Even our Declaration of Independence says very famously, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And people love the word liberty. Yet I don't often hear people talking about using the liberty responsibly. Instead, you hear a lot of people say things like, well, this is a free country, and I can do what I want, and I can do when I want it, and I don't want to hear anything about it from anyone else. And that is true. It is a free country. You can do whatever you want. But the next question that follows that is, how's it going for you? How is it going for us as a nation to do whatever we want, whenever we want it? Well, I have some numbers here that tell us how it's going. In 2020, the World Health Organization said that more than 350 million new sexually transmitted disease diagnoses were made that year. That's a million a day. Right now, the national debt sits at just under $35 trillion. Now, that's a big number. And not many of us can wrap our mind around what a trillion looks like. And so just to relate to it a little bit better, that means for every single taxpayer, it's $266,000. And because not all Americans are taxpayers, for every citizen, it's $103,000. And that doesn't include our personal debt, our credit cards, our financing, and all the other things. In 2024, the National Literacy Institute said, and I'm quoting here, 21% of U.S. adults are illiterate. 54% do not read at a sixth grade level. The National Center for Drug Abuse says that more than 37 million people between the ages of 12 and up have used illicit drugs in the past 30 days. Those two issues, by the way, are costing us multiple trillion dollars a year. The U.S. Census Bureau says that 1 in 10 people in America live in poverty. Somebody once said very well, the more we do as we like, the less we will like what we do. And I know a lot of these things are complex issues, and I'm not trying to minimize them at all. Just to iterate and reiterate that when a person says, well, it's a free country, I can do what I want, I can do when I want, and I don't want to hear about it from anybody else, you have to ask the question, well, how's that working out? Because usually I have found that for most people, when they say those things, what they mean is they want the freedom to do what they want, when they want, how they want, and not be accountable for any of it. The freedom from consequence, the freedom from repercussion. And yet, it seems it hasn't gone very well. You see, with freedom comes the temptation to make it all about me, all about what I want to do, all about what I desire, what I think, regardless of the consequences. And spiritually, the same thing can happen. Uncontrolled liberty very quickly becomes uncontrollable immorality. And it happens when people start saying things like, well, if somebody's saved, if Jesus has forgiven me, then I can act however I want. If I'm not under the law, then it doesn't matter what I do because Jesus already died for my sin. And that kind of thinking is exactly what was going on in the early church, which is why in the book of James, he writes so clearly when he says that faith without the good works is actually dead. It's vain. It's empty. It can't do anything. It's hollow in the middle. It's to push back against the idea that we can do whatever we want, whenever we want it, and we don't need to hear about it from anyone. Basically saying that real saving faith does not look like that. If it is real, then there are some good things that will come out of that person. Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up, he says. And so will you lose your seat in heaven because you've sinned? Well, no, of course not. That's why it's called being saved. You don't need to be saved if there's nothing to be saved from. But at the same time, a saved person will try and not sin in the first place, because they understand that there is a responsibility that comes with liberty. And so we have our declaration. You were called. You were destined. You were invited. This is a very special thing that comes from God to you to be free. We have our limitation. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. And finally, and we close with this, an exhortation. Instead, he says, through love, serve one another. We as a nation are not a perfect people, but you know what's interesting is we tend to have this habit of trying to do the right thing. Now, we have a past and we have a history that is marked with pain and regret, and I'll certainly be the first to admit that. And yet, what makes our nation great is that even when we make the mistake, it tends to be that we're trying to do the right thing. Even though we sometimes fumble it, the goal is the right thing. That's why after World War II, as debatable and as controversial as dropping the atomic bombs were, the goal was to save lives. And after that war was done, the United States led the world's effort in rebuilding its former enemies of Germany and the Axis nations and the Empire of Japan. We are the first nation in the history of the world to fight wars and not keep the land, to give it back, to build up and help heal the people that had just been at war with us. The U.S. is the greatest contributor of humanitarian aid in the world. We share money and food and medicine and technology and people with nations without asking anything in return. We have some of the most generous charities in the entire world, and they go into some of the worst places in the world just to help people get things like drinking water and flu shots and mosquito nets and shoes. Americans give more per capita to charity than any other nation on earth. And again, we're not perfect by any means. We have problems. But at the same time, our tendency tends to be to try at least to do the right thing. And so here is the exhortation. You were called to freedom, only don't use it for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. As a believer, you are free to do what you want. Why not choose to want to build someone up? You're free, absolutely, to live however you like. Why not live like an example of Jesus to others? You have been liberated from sin. There's no doubt about that. Why not be liberated to service? The Apostle Paul said very well in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, though I am free from all men, he said, I make myself a servant to all. He said, to the Jew I have become a Jew. To those under the law I have become as one under the law. To the weak I have become weak. I have become all things to all men that by all means I might save some. In 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, as free, yet not using our liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Jesus himself said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but rather to serve others. And so here it tells us, through love, serve one another. 248 years ago, our founding fathers said, you are free. And the political bonds that connected you with the King of Great Britain would be over forever. Well, 2,000 years before that, Jesus hung on a cross and he said it was finished. And from then on, the bonds that connected you to sin and religion and legalism would be over forever. And so the question becomes, how do we use our freedom? Now that sin has no power to condemn anymore, now that it has no grip on your life like it did before, now that you are not thrown into eternal fire because you made a mistake, now that all of that is in the past, now that you've been freed from all of those things, what will you choose to do? Well, it tells us right here, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. We have freedom in the Lord, and there is a responsibility to the liberty that we enjoy. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the freedom that we have in this nation. We thank you for the personal freedom that every one of us has. But also, Lord, as we gather today, we focus on and we remember and appreciate the spiritual freedom that Jesus died for us to have. And it's not a freedom that then licenses us to go and do anything that we want, when we want it, how we want it, to not hear anything from anyone else. That was never the intention. It was a freedom, rather, to say we're free from the vice of the world. We're free from the grips and the power of sin. We are free from the enemy so that we can be free to serve others. As Paul said, to become all things to all people, that by all means we might save some. So, Lord, I pray that as each one of us enjoys our freedom this morning and we remember what it was that it took to bring us that freedom here today, I pray that each and every one of us would not just give thanks for it, but would use it as an opportunity to serve and to bless others. Lord, I pray that you would bless us for the remainder of the day. Bless these baptisms that we're about to have here in just a little while. Bless the food that we'll receive as we gather today for one reason and one reason only, and that is the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to invite you all to stand with us as we close. And just a reminder, we are having baptisms after the service. And so if you're being baptized, we'll be over here. The food will also be available at the same time. If you don't want to stand out here, you don't have to. If you can, it'd be great. But if you're being baptized, if you're interested in being baptized and you just decided right now, it'd be a great thing to do. We're going to have that available. But God bless.
Oh Lord, our Lord.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and sing. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. Join with the earth and I give my praise to you.
Amen. Yes, we worship you, Lord. All right. We're going to have baptisms in just a couple minutes, but we encourage you, if you go in, there's food inside as well. If you're getting baptized, as Colin said, you can join us up here. God bless.